Welcome into the AU Radio Comics Corner.
I think you never outgrow your love of these stories.
A weekly look at new and upcoming comic book releases.
I loved anything that was imaginative, that was high concept, that was a little bit bigger than life.
Join us.
You guys are great.
Pull up a beanbag chair, settle in, and thumb through this week's issues with George and Travis.
Purveyors of entertainment, we hope.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome on down to another Comics Corner podcast. Hi, Travis.
Hi, George.
Hi, Corey.
Hi, George.
And
we got Robert in the corner.
And we got Robert.
Ha ha, yes.
So let's did it!
Oh, he did it!
Welcome down to the corner, Robert.
Hello. Like the corner of the corner?
Yeah. He is, in fact, in the corner of the corner. There's stuff out this week. We got a little triple whammy of X-Men comics, being X-Men number 3, Excalibur number 3, and Marauders number 3. And I didn't read any of them, so I can't speak on them yet. But
we can't give away spoilers anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
You know, as I was reading the X-Men mm-hmm. last night, I saw the
timeline.
Yeah, the copyright.
Oh, okay. Page, yeah.
And it says that it's not supposed to be out until like next month.
Oh.
So I had to double check. I was like, am I releasing this too early?
Well, comics are weird like that. All their publication schedules are a little bit off because they account for their subscription people that order directly from them as a publisher, and they always take like a full month to get those out. So that's, yeah. It's, I think that's for them, but at the same time.
I've been burned before, George.
I know.
When's that one comic come out?
Huh?
When's that one comic come out?
Yeah.
Next week.
The one with the guy that was in the thing that was out last year?
It'll be in next week.
Oh, yeah.
Next week with Bedlam.
Yep. Bedlam was the comic I was trying to think of. That's what the bit was completely screwed. So,
another triple whammy from Marvel this week was the 2099 stuff. We had Amazing Spider-Man number 35, and then one shots for Ghost Rider and for Venom.
They're doing a Venom 2099?
It was actually really cool.
Was it?
Cool. It's obviously not Eddie Brock or anybody because it's in 2099, but the main character. Is handicapped in a certain physical manner, and Symbiote finds her and starts to heal her, and basically they go on a quest together to try and find the other pieces of the Symbiote because it's not complete.
Ooh, all
it's,
right,
that's a cool story.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
and you say these were one shots?
I think so.
They just sent us a promo poster for that.
Oh, a promo poster for a one shot?
Yeah, that came out the day that they sent us a poster for it.
Good
excellent,
job, guys.
Excellent marketing, yeah. Diamond.
If they're more than one shots, they haven't advertised like any of that yet.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing any of that.
How was the Ghost Rider?
I didn't read it.
Okay, that's fair.
So some of the 2099 stuff just doesn't hit with me.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
I was flipping through this one a little bit, and it felt like it was going to be one of those ones, and I had enough other stuff to read.
So I'm a big fan of the 2099 line, the original.
Sure, yeah.
I picked up the Punisher one.
Okay.
I think I picked up the Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah.
But I haven't gotten all of these new ones.
That's fair. There's a lot of them.
But I'm digging the vibe of it, like a lot. They're hitting what I liked about the old ones.
Nice.
But the Ghost Rider is such a touchy story anyway. Like when it's good, it's on. And when it's not, it's way off.
So the only thing that really kind of took the wind out of my sails on it is I flipped through it. And while there was some interesting, weird sci-fi futuristic stuff going on, there was precious little actual Ghost Rider related stuff in this comic. So it's just like, okay, he shows up towards the end and whatnot, but it seems like the character's a little off base from what a normal Ghost Rider story kind of starts as. Okay. And that's me being somebody who just wants classic Ghost Rider.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But
you're wrong.
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Did you like it?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Shut up, Travis.
I was just being a gatekeeper.
I don't know why Shut Up, Travis is my go-to today, but
it works.
I'm sorry.
Did you read anything from Marvel this week?
Just the X-Men.
Okay, fair enough.
And the Serpent War from Conan. Oh, yeah. fun.
How was that?
It was a comic. It was pretty good. The whole thing was just set up.
Okay.
This guy is remembering all his past lives, and then he gets charged to find warriors to fight this war.
Okay.
And one of them is Conan, and another one is Moon Knight.
What?
Interesting. Yeah.
So what? Because he's an ancient Egyptian kind of guy, or is it in current time?
They mention how he's the guy's been battling throughout the years, but he gets the current Moon Knight guy.
So probably not like Mark Spector or whoever the current one is in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but that's who they get.
What?
Yeah,
Nathan Fillion.
He's like, I don't want to do this, and the Moon Knight spirit thinger is.
I will never be able to read Moon Knight again and not hear that voice.
So
yeah, not the evildoer.
He's wearing the same cut. No? Okay. No, okay. All right.
Can't do it on the spot.
And then they get this pilgrim guy that I've never seen before.
Okay.
This other lady.
So I'm confused. How, because Moon Knight's not like immortal, is he?
They made it sound like the spirit that like takes over him. He's kind of like a symbiote type of thing going on.
Okay.
Where he's like, I've got more missions for you. And he's like, I don't want to. And he's like, too bad. And
you got to stop or I'm going to start hearing that voice too.
It's so good, dude.
But okay, that's fine. Okay, well, fair enough. I saw that on the shelf and I wasn't sure if that was like the beginning of an event or like a one shot or something or other. But so big beginning of an event.
You've sold it with a much more diplom than you did downstairs. Because I was like, ooh, Conan, and you were like, yeah, it was trash.
No, it wasn't trash. I don't know. I think if they put a little bit more into the art, it would have been a much better read for me.
Okay.
I just love the Conan art.
Well, yeah. Big chunks of it, especially like the Busiek run.
Yeah.
You know, that's when it was phenomenal. Oh, what you got in your hands there, George?
It's a tie-in to the Annihilation Scourge series that's happening.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's Fantastic Four. All right, whatever. All right, that and Nova came out.
Well, and, I like Nova.
Well, I should have led with that. And that was the end of what I had for Marvel this week.
Yeah, there you go.
But
did you read any of the Annihilation stuff?
You know, Marvel does a lot of things, and a couple of them this week were just things that are very, very low on my radar, and Annihilation and like the Cosmic Marvel stuff is definitely right up there with that.
Yeah.
So no, I didn't. There's a lot of them, and Rosenberg is writing the Nova one, and Christos Gage is writing the Fantastic Four one, so they have good writers on this at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was... I get just a small batch of DC this week. Starting off with Batman 84, the penultimate Tom King run.
Really?
Issue. Yeah.
The end of a legend.
So,
which was just page after page of earlier.
Yep.
Earlier.
Meanwhile,
it was basically I would say it was poignant. It was basically a download on the Thomas Wayne character.
Oh, okay.
And it goes from what is happening right now all the way back to before the events of Flashpoint. Because that's the Batman that he is.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. It kind of ties a bunch of stuff in.
It does.
It actually gives it some continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Does. I mean, it shows you how Thomas Wayne got to where he is now from the ridiculous events of what the Flashpoint universe are and all the stuff that happens with the Martha Wayne and all of the terrible, terrible stuff that happens to them as their origin story.
Right.
Is in the, well, not the forefront, but it's towards the end of the comic book because that gets to be like towards the beginning of the timeline as they're going back.
So I actually always, it was heavy handed.
Yeah.
In Flashpoint, but I did like the take on it. Like, I thought that was an interesting, Like, it was a unique way to come at it.
The miniseries was by Azzarello and Riso. It was the 100 Bullets team, which I thought was a genius choice to put on that.
Right. And it's phenomenal. So to hear that there's some resolution to that nearly 78 years later is pretty impressive.
Indeed. Do you want to throw some DC out?
I think the only other DC that I read was the Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Which, you know, it was a good, fun story. I don't like Christmas stories.
Because you're a Scrooge.
I am.
It's okay, though. We still love you.
But even with that, it was a fun story.
The cover, the Cho variant is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
As always.
You know, it's really good, so.
And the Harley goes to a Christmas town that is nothing but Christmas to cheer herself up because Thanksgiving sucked so bad for her.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome. That just reminds me of the Red Dwarf Better Than Life book.
Yeah.
Where Lister ends up as he just lives in It's a Wonderful Life. Like the town. It's perpetually Christmas Eve.
I think that would be my hell. Just Christmas music going all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Not good.
I like Christmas music, but that's me.
I like it in doses. But by the time, you know, December ends, I'm done with it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I read a nice little cheery one shot. Year of the Villain, The Infected, Deathbringer.
That was kind of a cool cover. It had me intrigued, and I haven't read any of the Year of the Villain stuff. But I almost picked that up just because I liked the cover art. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool one shot. This is Donna Troy, which is like one of the other like younger Wonder Woman kind of analogies.
Isn't Donna?
Is that who gets infected?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Diana Troy. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I was like, there's a Star Trek crossover in this?
So she's trying to like sort out some political stuff because apparently that's the position she's been put into. As the Titans are in this town and trying to get the people and the police force to work together instead of going at each other's throats and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, she gets infected by the Joker virus by the Batman Who Laughs, and everything kind of goes to hell.
Dude, the Batman Who Laughs is a jerk.
You know, and it's, he is, and you know, it would be a little bit more cheesy, but it used the Joker virus to kind of break down her psyche and kind of go through Donna Troy's history of just kind of mimicking other people and like only like learning to be versions of other people and never being herself and all that kind of stuff. So it was a little weird philosophy thing, but it was cool.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. And then also Justice League number 37 came out and is just as crazy as it's always been.
Nice.
Yep.
We also had Batman Universe.
That seems like a really cool book, and I just didn't get traction with it right off the bat.
Yeah, I haven't read any of it. There was a giant Batwoman Supergirl, World's Finest, that came out.
Oh, cool.
So if you were needing some Batwoman.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Batwoman.
No black labels this week?
They've kind of incorporated all the Sandman stuff into
Black Label. Yeah, that's right. The Dreaming.
Yeah.
That one came out. We had the Green Lantern Black Stars.
Yes, we did.
that one that you forgot to grab?
Well, no, I just decided not to. Oh. Yeah. I wouldn't have known what was going on.
You know, I'm so bummed about Green Lantern. Yeah. Like, it was my favorite comic for so long.
This run is probably, I've heard it's good because he's been doing this little vignette, like single issue thing with just light story thread through stuff.
Yeah.
And it's been good, but this Black Star miniseries is just weird AF. And I don't know what's good. Like, I've missed enough of the little bits and pieces that he's built up that the context is just not there.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump over to Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Because they had some cool ones.
They did. They had a couple of kind of period piece ones.
Yeah.
One I'm actually really excited about. Trav sold me on it this morning, which is the one you've got in your hand right there.
The Butcher of Paris?
Yeah.
About the Butcher of Paris?
Right.
Which I forgot the guy's name again. If you're a history buff, you probably already know, but there was this guy, this doctor that was running around murdering people during the Nazi occupation of Paris.
Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah. 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 And nice, uplifting holiday reading.
This other poor sap gets thrown right in the middle of like trying to take down the resistance.
Always how it happens. Yeah.
The other period piece you were talking about, Kill Whitey Donovan.
Yes. Which I liked it. I'm interested to see where it goes. It's going to be, it was a whole lot of setup of, I think it was the fiance of a plantation owner, trying to, break out one or more of the slaves getting caught in the act. And it's going to set up like a crazy, action based kind of a, it's like, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go.
Almost Django-y, maybe?
Kinda.
Yeah, she's on a revenge mission. This dude wronged her sister, and now she got roped into being fianced to him.
Oh, why didn't I grab that? Hell yeah, that sounds dope.
The artwork was solid. It was an interesting start of a story. Five-issue miniseries.
You're going to have to pick that one up.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We had the She Could Fly Volume 2 Lost Pilot trade paperback came out.
Yeah. Wait, She Could Fly?
Yeah, She Could Fly.
Cool.
She Believe it or not, she's walking on air.
I was gonna.
You should have.
I should have.
Yeah.
Go with your gut, George.
My gut is hungry.
And Ruby Falls number 3 came out.
Nice. Okay. There's a bunch of people that are super excited about that one.
Yeah. Everything also came out from Dark Horse.
Which is the title of a comic.
Everything, number 4.
They didn't just release Everything.
Yep. Everything is out this week.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is great when you're part of this team.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks. That was all I had for Dark Horse.
Yeah, me too. That was pretty much all that came out. Boom Studios had another Buffy number 10, another chapter in the Hellmouth thing. Is it? That was still part of it.
Yeah, right? It's still going.
They seem to be kind of machine gunning that out every week.
Yeah.
It's gotten away from me. Like, I was really enjoying it. And now I'm like, I'm daunted.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Getting a little bit of fatigue gone.
Yeah.
I don't think Jen's even caught up on it.
Yeah, I'll get to it, I'm sure, but it's not at the top of the pile.
Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, number 3. You got to. Got to throw out those long titles to...
You got to build the excitement as you go along.
Not the longest title of the week, though.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to say...
The next one, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover.
Oh, nice. Out.
That's a lot of words.
That is a lot of words. Ooh, does that rival Journey to Star Wars?
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
Star Wars.
Star Wars Allegiance.
Allegiance, yeah. No, it's that's longer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And they released a cover for each turtle holding a Power Ranger helmet.
Oh my God. That's got to be glorious.
they look pretty cool.
You said they have all these variant covers, and I'm like, and I didn't even look at them. Now I want to look at them. Yeah. I feel bad.
And the interior art looks really good if I was into the Power Rangers at all.
See, here's the thing is the Power Rangers comics are dope.
Yeah.
Like, they're just solid.
If you were looking on the shelf, don't worry. I put in a reorder for some Power Rangers trades.
Good.
Somebody was looking for a bunch of them, and we were out of, like, all of them.
It's a really good run. Like, I'm not even the biggest Power Rangers fan. I got into it a little bit with the boys.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, when the girls were growing up, when it was, like, appropriate to be on and stuff.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
Sure.
But I got into it later because... The Aquabat Super Show went off the air.
Okay, yeah.
And I needed something to fill that ridiculous kaiju void.
Sure, yeah. Makes sense.
Read Kaiju Girl.
I am now.
Hopping over to... Oh, we're fine for time. I thought we were running short.
Yeah, we're good.
Hopping over to Image. We had just a couple in my stack, but Die number 10.
Ooh.
Ended the second story arc.
Nice.
And
that's still the Jumanji.
Yeah. And holy crap. All of the characters in this story have one of the six kinds of dice associated with them.
Yeah.
And the D4 is the dictator, and she can basically cast a binding on people to make them her personal slave or servant or whatever you want to call that.
Right.
And even if they're not willing. And she gets the focus in this one and is probably going to become the villain of the story.
Cool.
Yeah. Like it was a really cool.
Is the trade of the first arc out?
It is. And the second one will be out probably in a month or two.
Okay. I still need to catch up on that. So I think I might pick the trade up if we have it.
It's been fun. The second story arc, I'd argue, is even crazier than the first story arc, which was pretty crazy itself.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm like way behind on that one. They had a really cool one, 20XX.
2020.
Well, it fits better with the what we were talking earlier about, you know, anime using the XX.
I get it.
Because it's an undisclosed future thing where we've where we've melted the permafrost and released some horrible virus that will either kill you or make you a superhuman.
Well, that's just, so it's science fact.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's by Jonathan Luna and Lauren Keeley. And you are probably familiar with Jonathan Luna from a butt ton of other comics that he's done, like Sword, like Alex and Ada, Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one back in the day. Used to work a lot with his brother. I can't remember what his brother's name is now.
Yeah, when they did Sword.
Yeah. And Girls and the Luna Brothers, they're had been known as. But Jonathan Luna started working with other writers on Alex and Ada. He had another female co-writer too, which probably helped land some of the more emotional moments in that comic book. But holy crap, did I cry a number of times during Alex and Ada. That was an emotionally charged book about a robot and her human lover.
His art is so distinctive too. So it really works.
But you like this, you said?
Yeah, it was good.
Cool. That premise is pretty far out. It's fun. I mean, people have done that kind of thing before, I'm sure, but
yeah,
doing it with his style.
Like nothing new. It's, you become a superhuman, but you become an outsider and you get like, you're the bad guy and have to go live in the slums or whatever.
Gotcha.
What else could happen, you know?
Yeah, sure.
We've got Manifest Destiny, number 39 came out.
And Drew freaked out.
Finally back and being published again.
Yeah. We've had a couple back from that weird long hiatus they had.
It was a really long time.
Yeah.
Oh, for a tiny bit of context on those kinds of delays, in the afterword of Die this week, Kieran Gillen mentions that Stephanie Hans actually broke her leg.
Oh no.
And is going to be late getting this book back. They had a lot of lead time that a really efficient creator-owned comic book can achieve, where they're ahead of their schedule, and all of that is now completely gone because of this injury that Stephanie's had. And so,
come on, you don't write with your leg.
Sure.
You don't.
But at the same time, nonetheless, the comic isn't going to be back quite as quickly as they wanted to be. So we're looking at April or May when the third story arc of Die is going to start up. So there's going to be a delay, but it is what it is.
We also had the No Man Omen number 3.
Yeah.
Really hard one to say for some reason.
It really is.
No Man Omen.
Birthright Volume 8 trade paperback came out.
Ooh, I know.
As well as the trade for My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies.
Ooh. All right.
If you were waiting for... Because the hardback came out like last month.
It was a little while ago.
Speaking of hardcovers, the one I wanted to bring up that I actually physically brought up, Dark Arc, the first arc, arc one
of Dark Arc.
Yeah, Cullen Bunn and Juan Doe came out, and
Dark Arc, arc one.
If you
that's actually on the cover, Dark Arc, arc one.
Yeah.
Okay, you're good. Sorry.
Were you thought I did that?
Dark arc, arc one. No, you're fine. Go ahead. Sorry.
Jesus. Which, if you don't know, Dark Arc is the story of Noah being tasked with building the ark to save his family and animals on the planet. The sorcerer Shrey builds his own ark and takes all the unnatural magical beasts and monsters of the earth and puts them on a boat. And hilarity ensues.
Yeah. Is there any part in there where they just proclaim, "We're on a boat
and we're going fast"?
Yeah, I think it was the manticore that did that.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Oh. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that, yeah, the manticore was like, "I got a nautical theme Pashmina Afghan."
Choice.
But that if you, you know, I'm a total Cullen Bunn fanboy, so.
Yeah.
Read this. It's absolutely stellar. So.
I got to give a shout out. That's the longest run I've ever seen Wando stay on. His artwork is so good.
Yeah.
It is so weird and different, but just crisp.
And it fits so well in this story.
Totally.
Like, it's just, it's dark. It's, you just get a sense of dread and menace every time you're on this boat, which is the entire story. So it's like, it's pretty hefty.
That's awesome.
Which they also had the beginning of the third story arc beginning this week.
Oh, yep. Nice.
With After the Flood, number one.
Cool. Hey, so we get to see the world if all those monsters and stuff were still around afterwards.
If. For more answers to that, turn into the Underground Files.
Yeah.
Shameless plug.
That's okay.
Napoleon Dynamite, number 2 of 4, came out.
Ooh. With... way more going on than you could ever expect a Napoleon Dynamite comic to have.
I disagree. There's a lot of subtext to that show. Yeah. I more than anybody who ever wants to, you know, you just want to laugh at the nerd feeding meatloaf to a llama. But I think there's a lot more to it than that, or else it wouldn't have stayed with us as hard. You know what I mean?
That's fair. I'll have to watch it again.
Star Trek Year 5, number 8.
Starring Donna Troy.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder in Hell, number 5.
Yeah,
another one
fight with Hellboy
with really good art. So I wanted to touch on that. We the crossovers that have all this crazy stuff going on with the TMNT and the MMPR, just to abbreviate.
That was good. You did it.
It's almost easier to just say the whole thing.
Yeah,
I know.
He did it though. He successful.
Yeah,
he succeeded. Good job.
They consistently have really fun art, like really solid, like crisp, clean art. Like,
absolutely, dude. The Batman TMNT crossovers have been stellar. They're so good.
That one, the Justice League and Power Rangers crossover also had great art. They're doing the Black Hammer and Justice League one right now, and that has art that very perfectly fits Black Hammer. They make sure that they treat the properties correct.
I want Black Hammer and the BPRD.
That would be amazing.
That's what I want.
That would be cool.
Let's see it. Come on, Dark Horse. It's your own properties. There's nothing in your way.
Yeah. Yeah. Call Mike. He'll do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Usagi Yojimbo, number 7, also came out from IDW.
Very nice.
And I love me that rabbit.
Kind of a nice little in-between story arc, little one-off stories.
Little filler to get us to the next run. Yeah.
Very nice.
What else did we have coming out?
You want me to do Star Wars?
Sure.
Yeah, do Star Wars.
We got a couple minutes.
Okay. Star Wars this week. Star Wars Saga Comic Primer.
Oh, jeez.
We'll fill you in and let you get a jump off point.
Sure.
Because the Star Wars comic universe is getting enormous.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
It's really, really big right now, and there is a ton of stuff going on. So if you're looking to jump in, if you've got kids at home that are newly enthused because of The Mandalorian, and you want to get them into Star Wars through say the comics, this is kind of a cool little thing to hand them and get them going. It is it's standard comic price, $3.99, but it'll fill in the gaps and let you know. Hey, I'd like to pursue the Rebellion Age comics, the Clone War Age comics. Like there's so many different thorough lines. And also Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple 4 or 5 dropped.
Nice.
I'm not remembering the number. I meant to grab it and I forgot.
Five.
Yeah, five. Which is the story of the young Padawan who, spoilers, if you're playing Fallen Order for Xbox or PS4, has cut herself off from the Force. Hmm. And this is her backstory and a bunch of stuff of how the temple falls.
Yeah, the gal with real big eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been watching a video playthrough of some of that game, and
the comic is her backstory.
Cool.
Is that the one that Cheap Trick made that song for?
I'm gonna. How many times have I asked you not to bring up the band? I hate them so much.
And with that, I know.
But,
sorry. Go ahead.
But absolutely. The other thing is that comic fills it in really well and dials in the Fallen Order into main Star Wars canon very well.
Cool.
So if you're at all a fan of that game, which I am knee deep in it and loving every second of it.
Nice.
I haven't been this enthused on a video game in years.
It seems like it's the most successful Star Wars game to give you the feeling that the old Jedi Knight games gave you.
Yes.
And I tried to play that again recently, and it doesn't hold up.
No.
I mean, a little, but not very much.
I mean, if you get it and play it on your phone in bits, it's not bad.
Okay, yeah.
Which, I didn't do that or anything.
Yeah, sure.
But it's like, you can download those games as an app now and play them. But
no, I can't wait to play Fallen Order.
But if you get into the primer, just to let people know, we got a boatload of discounted Star Wars graphic novels.
Yeah, we did.
There's a ton on the shelf. So just a couple of recommendations. Pick up The Screaming Citadel. There's a really awesome story that's kind of it's in mid rebellion. It's a Luke and Dr. Offra story working together, which is amazing. And Doc Offra is my favorite thing going in the comic universe as we speak. So
that one gives a little bit of context as to Luke's journey after Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Or am I thinking of a different one?
Yeah, you're thinking of the Shattered Empire.
Okay. There you go.
Shattered Empire, which we also have on the shelf, gives a little, it's kind of a lead up to Force Awakens.
That's right.
Okay. And that one's really, really good. And if you at all saw the Star Wars Rebels show, I highly, highly recommend the Kanan hardcover that we got in, which is the complete run of the Kanan comic. And he's one of the baddest ass Jedis ever. And he ends up training Ezra in the Rebels series. And he's awesome.
Nice.
So
nice.
That's my Star Wars report for the week.
And with that, Robert, thank you for being here.
Hi. Bye.
There you go. Corey.
George.
Corey. That's not this podcast.
No, sorry. That's a different thing. I don't play that game.
Okay, okay.
I do. I love you, man.
Love you too. Travis, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
All right.
Bye.
Ha ha. You've been listening to AU Radio Comics Corner. Music is provided by Cubby and Bensound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.
If you'd like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at @AU_radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as a dollar a month. Thanks for listening.